contacted Dave Bitt last week about this week. Wanted to talk Big Ten Buckeyes. We'll do some of that, absolutely. But the timing's very good with all the news out there. And Dave, I'll start here with an attempt at humor. Maybe not a really good attempt, but just to get the story straight, yesterday, Texas is flirting with the SEC, in essence, to get Quinn Ewers. Have you ever heard of a school leaving a league just to get a quarterback?
Oh, I didn't know that was the reason. I thought they felt like there'd be a lot more money involved. No, I've never heard of that. I've heard of high school coaches and fathers being hired as assistant coaches. But that would be a new one for sure, my man.
What's the thinking from Big Ten country with this Oklahoma-Texas news?
Well, I mean, some fans are like, okay, is it really going to happen? Some fans are thinking, Ohio State fans are like, well, the Big Ten blew it here. You know, instead of the SEC going to 16 schools, you know, the Big Ten should have got its act together last year. I don't know. I mean, I think 14 is enough in the Big Ten. I don't know if Texas and Oklahoma would be a good geographical fit. It sure would be a good competitive fit. The Big Ten would need that infusion of talent because right now, I mean, we're old enough, Bill, to remember the days of the Big Two and the Little Eight. You know, right now it feels like the Big One and the Little 13 at some stages. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if that happens. If Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, my goodness, I mean, that's going to change the entire landscape of college football because what's going to happen to the Big 12 at that point? Are some of those schools going to be scrambling to maybe join the Pac-12 or the Big 10 or even the SEC or the ACC? I mean, Notre Dame was in the ACC last year, so things can get weird. I don't know. That will completely – we thought going to 14 teams was crazy. That's going to be really crazy if that happens.
Josh up in London, Ohio, ask Dave Biddle, is there any chance Ohio State would say screw the league and try and leave?
I don't think so because if it was just about football, heck yes they would, or sports in general. But yeah, for them to make that decision, they would have to break ties with these, we were talking football, but like the thing that makes the most money for Big Ten schools is their hospitals. They do stuff like cancer research, things that are way more important than football, even though we all like to think football is the most important thing in the world, myself included. So no, it'll never happen as much as from a football perspective it should, because Ohio State is unlike, I shouldn't say every other school in the Big Ten. Nebraska is like-minded, Iowa is like-minded, and there are certainly fans across the Big Ten that are like-minded, but as far as the actual institutions, there's really only those three that are like-minded, and only Ohio State can play with the big boys, it seems like, right now. So it'll never happen because of, you know, their ties academically with these other institutions and all the research they do at hospitals. But it sure is fun to think about.
Dave Biddle with us. You talk about the separation that continues between Ohio State and the rest of the league, Michigan and the rest of the league. And it's true. And recruiting, it's separating out even more day by day, Dave.
It does feel that way. And I'm sure everybody, I mean, I felt this way. I'm sure everybody, all the other teams in the Big Ten were like, when Urban Meyer stepped down, they were like, all right, here we go. Here's our chance. Now Ohio State's going to come back to the pack. And Ryan Day, it's a small sample size, Bill. So we don't know yet, even though I have a great feeling about him. He's got 2 years in the books. You could say, well, he just got the keys to a Lamborghini and didn't wreck it. But that's fair. But now you look at how he is recruiting. I mean, there's been no drop-off, which is that's the most shocking thing to me, is there's been no drop-off in recruiting from Urban to Ryan. Now, one of the big reasons is because Ryan Day was able to retain Mark Pantoni, who's the Wizard of Oz there behind the scenes. He's their director of player personnel, and I thought Urban might take him with him to the Jags, but Mark Pantoni loves being at Ohio State. I don't even know if Urban reached out to try and take him, but it's really surprising that there's been no drop off in recruiting. You know, I knew Ryan Day was an offensive genius and quarterback whisperer and all that, but how is he going to – did he have enough chops to go out and hire a good defensive coordinator? He did the first year with Jeff Hafley, who then only stayed 1 year because he was too good and went to Boston College. We'll see about Kerry Combs. The jury is still very much out on Kerry Combs as defensive coordinator. That's the big storyline, Bill, for Ohio State going into this year is the defense will improve. How much will they improve? They need to improve a lot. They need to improve exponentially. They can't go from 56th in the country – to 46th in the country in total defense. They need to be a top 20 defense if they want to compete with the likes of Alabama. I don't think they have to be a top 10 defense because this offense is going to be elite. Ohio State's offense will be elite. I think it'll be a top 5 offense. You can't you could probably win the Big Ten, you know, with that type of offense and a, you know, 50-ish defense in the country, but you're not going to win the national championship, and that's the goal. I mean, that's the goal. So if you're going to get past an Alabama, if you play Clemson again and are able to beat Clemson again, their defense played well against Clemson last year. They stepped up to the plate, but still, the offense was the big reason they won that game. So the defense needs to improve a lot. From 56th in the country, guys, I would say top 20.
You mentioned Kerry Combs, year one, shaky. Does he have 1 year to fix this, and then they'll have to go get somebody else?
I think so, and that's the last thing Ryan Day would want to do, because he likes Kerry Combs professionally and personally. He believes in him. It's not just he's a good guy, and I like him, and he's a good recruiter, so I'm having him as defensive coordinator. He believes in him, and he thinks last year he's going to kind of, this isn't the word he uses, but this is the word I use, he's going to kind of give him a mulligan for last year. Losing all the talent to the NFL. I mean, they lost 3 first-round picks and 6 draft picks overall. All 6 who played well as rookies in the NFL, except for Damon Arnett, who was one of the first-round picks. Jordan Fuller was a 6th-round pick by the Rams and started. But you use some of the excuses like COVID. I mean, teams in the Big Ten had to deal with the same stuff. And you had, it wasn't just Alabama that was lighting up Ohio State's defense. It was Indiana. You know, so it's... You can't use the excuse of, well, we didn't have training camp and all this. Well, Indiana didn't either. They were playing by the same rules. Like, what happened there? What happened when Penn State was torching you in the passing game? It was the passing defense. The rushing defense was fine last year. It was really good. 6th best rushing defense in the country. 6th worst passing defense in the country. So they're optimistic that they're going to turn around. But to answer your question, yeah, Bill, if they put a repeat of last year, I don't see how Kerry Combs is going to come back as defensive coordinator. Now, if I'm betting, I think they'll improve enough where he will come back. But, yeah, man, if they just barely improve or hold steady, I mean, they won't bring him back for a third year. The cries from the fans would be too much, and probably from the administration as well.
Jack Sawyer and then the 5-star defensive end that I always butcher his name out of Washington. Do these guys plug in immediately on the D-line?
Hey, man, just go JTT to be safe. Tui Moloau. So, yeah, so go. The only reason I know is because I had to say it 50 million times on our podcast. Because he's
right.
Buckeyes were recruiting him for about 4 years, it felt like. Felt like Terrell Pryor committed early compared to JTT. But Jack Sawyer, Bill, is a guy I think is going to play more than JTT this year's true freshman, because Jack Sawyer, both 5-star kids. JTT's ranked a little higher, but Jack Sawyer got here in January. And, you know, went through Mickey Marotti's strength and conditioning program. I was talking about Mark Pantoni might be the best at what he does. Mickey Marotti's one of the best strength coaches. Another guy that Ryan Day was able to, you know, retain from the Urban Meyer era, which is another big reason they're keeping up with what Urban did and maybe improving on it. But, yeah, I think Jack Sawyer is going to play a lot. He's more of a true defensive end. And they have one of their veteran backup defensive ends might go into camp a little banged up. So Jack Sawyer could end up being the number 3 defensive end right off the bat. Their starters are set. They have Tyreek Smith and Zach Harrison as their starters at defensive end. It's going to be a really good defensive line overall. But I think Jack Sawyer is going to play a lot because JTT just got here. Jack Sawyer got a chance to go through Mickey Marotti's strength program, got a chance to go through all of spring ball, looked good in the spring. I mean, spring game, you got to take with a whole container of salt, because they weren't even playing real football or playing touch football out there, Bill. Or if you got a hand on a quarterback, that was a sack. But Jack Sawyer like tore it up though. So he won't start or anything. I'm not saying he's gonna come in and be like a Nick Bosa or Joey Bosa as a freshman, but he will play a lot in a reserve role. JTT, they'll find a role for, but I think that'll be and not just in garbage time, but that'll be more of like 10 to 15 snaps per game in a big game. They'll find a way to get JTT out there. Man, I know he wants to play defensive end, but he's already 6'5", 280. Like, maybe they'll trim him down and he will be like strong side defensive end. But, man, when you're already that size coming out of high school, just graduated high school, to me, I think he's going to grow into a 3-tech defensive tackle. But he wants to play defensive end. Ohio State's going to let him. That's where he's going to play this year. So they'll find a role for JTT, 10, 15 snaps a game probably. I think Jack Sawyer is going to have a big role, probably that top defensive end off the bench.
Not a better, more hot recruiter in America than Brian Hartline.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm leaving for Big Ten Media Days today. It was what was it? Was it 3 years ago? Man, I can't remember how long it's been now. Yeah, 3 years ago, Big Ten Media Days is when the stuff hit the fan with Urban Meyer and Zach Smith. Whoever would have thought that would have been a blessing in disguise for Ohio State? Not necessarily with Urban Meyer. I mean, you could say maybe it was with Ryan Day replacing Urban Meyer, too. I don't know, what people think about that. Certainly, Brian Hartline replacing Zach Smith. And that's... Zach Smith, if you talk to some of the players, actually did a good job as a coach and actually did a good job as a recruiter. But Brian, so it's really nothing against Zach Smith as a coach or a recruiter. It's just Brian Hartline, as you said, is like the best in the country what he does. It's ridiculous how well he's recruiting at the wide receiver position year after year after year. Not like he has one great class and drops off. So year after year, he's stacking 5 stars and high 4 stars. And the way he coaches on the field, I mean, he was always a technician. That's why he was able to make it in the NFL. And made a lot of money in the NFL. He always was a technician as far as running routes, and you've seen Ohio State's receivers get better at running routes and things like that. So, yeah, he has been, and he was just, you know, he had already made millions in the NFL. He was just a volunteer assistant coach at Ohio State when all that stuff went down. He just wanted to be back at his alma mater, just, you know, coaching football for free. He didn't really know what he wanted to do, if he wanted to do coaching full-time, and then this fell in his lap, and he loves it. So they promoted him. It was 3 years ago they promoted him to wide receivers coach, and he has just been a godsend for the Buckeyes, there's no doubt about it.
Quick question here out the door. I was teasing about it early, but Jeff, too, here in town, asked Dave, could Texas coming to the SEC affect the recruitment of Quinn Ewers?
Man, I mean, why would he want to, why would Quinn Ewers want to go to the SEC and have to play Alabama all the time? Would he rather come here and play Purdue? No, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I don't think it will affect Quinn Ewers. He seems to, I mean, he sees what's happened with quarterbacks under Ryan Day and the way they've recruited the state of Texas and the success that they've had. I don't know. I'll be surprised if Quinn Ewers goes elsewhere. I don't know if joining the SEC would move the meter. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's like always dreamed of, like, you know, if Texas was in the SEC, then I'd go to the SEC. You never know what's in the mind of a 17, 18-year-old kid, but from what I understand, he's a pretty solid commit to the Buckeyes and is pretty excited to play for Ryan Day. Then again, what if Kyle McCord ends up beating out C.J. Stroud, which I don't think will happen. Kyle McCord's a true freshman. Would that change things? I don't think so. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to be afraid of competition. But, yeah, I think he's solid, but maybe I'm wrong, Bill.
Dave, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
There you go. There's Dave Biddle, Bucknuts. He is excellent. He's back.